Well, frequent guest to Afternoons, TJ O'Hara, our US political commentator, author and speaker, is joining us this afternoon for his take on what occurred over the weekend with the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump at the Pennsylvania rally. TJ, just last week we talked about the division and the tension that was being felt across the US in the lead up to this presidential election. I'd love you to tell us this afternoon how you feel about what's unfolded over the last 48 hours. And I think how important the next 48 are going to be. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, Sophie. And you're right. We talked about this just last week. And if you'll recall, I mentioned the fact that this wouldn't be a policy debate during this campaign, because it can't be, that the focus, particularly from the Democratic side, will be character assassination. And unfortunately, that's evolved into a potential political assassination. You have the president addressing the nation Sunday night in the United States, today, or Monday, and from your perspective, he addressed them from the Oval Office. And he said, we have to take a step back, determine how we go forward. We can't allow the violence to be normalized. He said the power to change America should always rest in the hands of the people, not in the hands of the would-be assassin. And that's true. So politically, he's rekindling the image of himself as the uniter, which is how he got elected 3.5 years ago. But in the ensuing 3.5 years, he spent the majority of his term making derogatory comments about the former president and blaming almost every ill of the country on extreme MAGA Republicans. He even recently said that his job was to beat Trump and there should be a bullseye on the former president. That's a poor metaphor. And, of course, that's encouraged people with conspiracy theories to quickly claim it's the dog whistle, as they like to say over here. But even the First Lady characterized him last week as evil. Then you have social media posts. Well, almost, well, I'll say the vast majority of social media posts by the minority leader of the House, Hakeem Jeffries, and DNC chair Jamie Harrison, include a reference to extreme MAGA Republicans. It's also the norm to equate any of those who support Trump with white supremacy, racism, misogyny, homophobia, almost any other over-the-top condemnation that one can imagine. Then, of course, there's the historically embarrassing tactic of equating Trump to Hitler and throwing in descriptive words like tyrant, autocrat, and the inevitable fascist for good measure. So meanwhile, the same people who read thoughts of defending Antifa by pretending it's a philosophy, saying, well, who is an anti-fascist? And yet condone its acts of beating people with chains and bricks and throwing cement-filled Coke cans at them, that's okay. So that's why we're where we are today. The rhetoric has become intentional. It's been orchestrated strategically to create fear among the general public and destroy the image of anyone who dares to identify with the opposing party. And I think one can legitimately assume that they are doing this intentionally, because the tell, as they would say in poker, is the immediate pulling of the president's and the DNC's ad, social media posts and fundraising emails after the assassination attempt.
Yeah, they used it as a using it as a vehicle. And, you know, TJ, I think many of us in Australia also watch a little aghast at the extreme ends. You know, we talk about this sort of extreme, the extreme ends, whether it be the far left or the far right. And both President Joe Biden, as you just mentioned, with his address earlier today, and now we're waiting on former President Donald Trump to speak, because they share this responsibility now to ensure that this failed assassination attempt is not the prelude to even more violence. You know, how important do you think now that we've heard from Joe Biden, and whether or not you give much weight to the words he used, he still tried to use it as an opportunity to defuse the situation, to say there is no place for violence, that we do, we won't, you know, we're not going to be able to change this with bullets, we need to do it at the ballot. So now we're waiting on Donald Trump and what he says in terms of whether or not it escalates or defuses the environment. He is arriving in Milwaukee ahead of the Republican convention. He shared initially this call for unity on his social media platform just after that Biden Oval Office address that you mentioned. And all he wrote was, unite America. And, you know, he's saying we need to unite as one nation. But the rhetoric from up till now, as you mentioned, from both sides has been so divisive and so hate-filled, especially when it comes to him galvanizing his MAGA faithful and Trump, you know, trying to counteract what they're saying about him and what the people who follow him believe. How important is what happens next?
think the question's spot on. It's critically important what happens next, but not only in the words, but in the deeds. Mm. Trump has always been the playground bully with childish types of remarks. He has a nickname for everybody. It's sure. almost always derogatory. So he's chronically pushing people around if he can, trying to intimidate them. That's got to change. This is a huge opportunity for him from a political standpoint to show that he doesn't have to be that crass. Conversely, you have the Democratic Party that uses every vile name you can think of
yeah.
to shut down the discussions on any critical issue. You know, words like racist and homophobe and misogynist shuts down discussion right away. There is no free speech because there's no speech at all. No one wants to be painted with that type of broad brush. So what the party does, I think the president took the right step today. The question is, are his words hollow?
Yeah.
Or will they ring true? And will he bring the party under control? Both of these candidates are the titular heads of their parties. So it's going to be critical to see what the actual behavior is afterwards.
You know, at the same time, we know conspiracy theories are spreading like wildfire. I've seen them even in texts into the station. And I've got to say, the mainstream media more broadly, including a platform like ours, continues to have a responsibility not to contribute to that division. And certainly the misinformation. How is that being counteracted in the US where it is so rampant?
It's being counteracted poorly, other than people who have common sense and allow actual investigations to play out. One of the conspiracy theories that's begun to circulate is about the Secret Service's possible involvement in the shooting, ostensibly
yeah.
based on Trump's being such a risk to democracy that the Secret Service isn't willing to protect him. Mm. Well, I happen to have a friend with a family member who serves on Trump's detail. And according to that source, the Secret Service assigned to Trump actually likes him. And I might add, I personally interacted with former Secretary Clinton's Secret Service detail back in 2016. And they didn't share that same enthusiasm for the former First Lady.
Mm.
Now, do I think there were holes in the protection that the former president was given? Obviously.
Mm.
But keep in mind that the Secret Service protection is afforded at the discretion of Homeland Security, which is headed by Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas of Border Protection fame. So if you want a real conspiracy theory, start with him and ask why he hasn't given Secret Service protection to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.,
mm.
who recently is polling at 19%. He's asked for it. He hasn't received it. His campaign has to pay for its own security protection to date. That has bled millions of dollars from his campaign funds, mm. which weakens his candidacy. And it's even more ironic because Secret Service protection was never given to presidential candidates other than the president himself, until after RFK Jr.'s father was assassinated back on June 6th in 68. So attempts have already been made on his son, yet Secretary Mayorkas still has chosen to assign him zero protection. So if you want a conspiracy, look there.
Mm. I will also ask about Donald Trump being such a massive supporter of the NRA and they of him. I would imagine gun sales have bumped in the U.S. after the weekend.
It's very possible. I haven't looked into that. That's an interesting question to raise. I think there's hypocrisy on both sides. You know, I don't know that the guns themselves have ever shot anybody. I wrote an article back in, I think it was January 8th in 2011, when Gabby Gifford and 18 other people were shot at a community organizing event. And it wasn't the gun, but it was blamed on the rhetoric, ironically, of Sarah Palin, who had a bullseye targeting candidates who should be pursued by the Republican Party the 2012 election, as far as we should oppose these people. And yet you have President Biden using the same bullseye analogy
yep.
this time. So, you know, it's not the gun. I'll tell you where we could all learn a lesson. Words matter. Reasonable people may see through the rhetoric, but more than one in five Americans suffers from mental illness.
Mm.
Now, more than one in four Australians over the age of 15 fall into that same category. So think about it. Before people become so desperate for their party to win that they embrace and repeat anything that their party tells them to believe, that's the only way to shut this down.
I think the other issue here that I would like to also mention, TJ O'Hara, is very quickly, Trump calling out to his Christian base, saying that God alone prevented the unthinkable from happening and he would fear not. It would seem now, as this continues to play out and we have that patriotic image of him bloodied, standing defiant below the flag, calling out to that base, that it's the Democrats at this point who are the party who are looking for a miracle.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of it quite framed that way. I think he's obviously, you know, we're still playing politics on both sides. So he's trying to say things that appeal to segments of his base. The evangelistic element is part of his base. So him saying that God's protecting him and so forth, I think, is a political tactic, quite honestly. Whether he believes it or not, I don't know. I hope he believes that. I hope he's not using God as a tool for political maneuvering, but call me a skeptic.
I completely understand where you're coming from there. TJ, thank you, as always, for jumping on and being so ready to be a part of the conversation with this, with your level of experience, understanding, and the fact that you are right there watching it all unfold so much closer to the action than we are here. As I mentioned, we're going to wait now to hear the words that come from the former president when he stands up in Milwaukee over the next few days. So no doubt you and I will be speaking again.